I want to thank Elaine for leading us in that song about Zacchaeus earlier and ask you, what does every person who has ever heard that song, what is the one thing that they all know about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man. That's what you all remember about Zacchaeus, right? You remember that he was a wee little man. How would you like it if you were remembered like that throughout history? Generation upon generation. Every time anyone mentioned your name, oh yeah, I remember Chuck. He was a wee little man. Centuries later, I've heard tell of Humphrey before. Wasn't he that wee little man? There isn't a whole lot else we can say about Zacchaeus, though. This story about him that we read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, it's the only mention we have of him in all of the Gospels. The only historical record that exists of this man, as far as I'm aware, are these first 10 verses of Luke 19. Now, if Zacchaeus could have written his own story, written the story of himself, knowing that it would be his legacy forevermore, I'm guessing he would have left out that verse about him being a short man. Did Luke really have to put that in there? But then that is the explanation for why Zacchaeus was climbing that sycamore tree. He wanted to see Jesus pass by, but he couldn't get a good view because the crowds were so big and he was so... Yeah. What else does Luke tell us about Zacchaeus? He tells us he was a tax collector. And not only that, he was chief among the tax collectors and he was rich. That's quite a lot to go on, actually. Just a couple of weeks ago, we visited this issue of how tax collectors were viewed in that society at that time. They were despised by the other Jews, not just because they took people's money, which no one likes giving up their money, but they took people's money to give it to a corrupt and oppressive and idolatrous regime. And on top of that, they collected quite a bit for themselves, collecting as much as they possibly could and keeping a whole bunch of it for themselves for a nice, comfortable life. Rich, comfortable, and despised. Now, we said a couple of weeks ago that although that was the common perception of tax collectors at the time, you couldn't really know for sure if they were truly corrupt without learning a little bit more about them. In the passage we were looking at that week, the Pharisee praying in the temple assumed that the tax collector praying nearby was a corrupt sinner, but he didn't really know the man. Zacchaeus' case is different. In this case, we do know a little bit more about him. We know that he was chief among the tax collectors and that he was rich. Let's face it, you didn't get to be chief among the tax collectors without playing the game. You didn't get to be rich as a tax collector without collecting a whole bunch extra for yourself. By saying that Zacchaeus was chief among the tax collectors and rich, Luke is saying to his audience, yes, audience, he was one of those tax collectors, the kind that was corrupt, the kind that got rich through extorting others, the kind that you hate. Zacchaeus was one of those. When you think of it that way, it kind of makes sense that he couldn't see Jesus through the crowd. Now, anyone else who was short, they could just worm their way through the crowd. Children know how to work their way through a crowd, get to the front of the crowd so that they can see. First time that I took Nathan to a rock concert, it was an outdoor show. It was festival seating, which means you don't have an assigned seat. You just sit wherever you want. You find a place. And well, he was still kind of short at the time. I know you can't believe that looking at him now, but he was short at the time. And he wanted to get to where he could see. And so he started working his way through the crowd. And I was just following along. And he kept moving up. And he kept moving up. And before you know it, we're right up there in front of the stage for the show. Why couldn't Zacchaeus do that? Why couldn't he just push his way through the crowd and work his way up to the front where he could see Jesus up close and personal? Well, when you understand what kind of person Zacchaeus was, and what the crowd thought about him, you realize Zacchaeus was not welcome in that crowd. That was a crowd that wanted nothing to do with Zacchaeus. Push past someone and he was liable to get pushed to the ground. Step in front of the wrong person and he could easily have gotten punched. Better to stay away from the crowd. Better to climb up a tree behind the crowd and look over. Nobody would be looking his way. Nobody would even notice him there. But someone did look his way. Someone did see him there. That someone, of course, was Jesus. I'm sure that Zacchaeus expected to go completely incognito that day. He didn't climb that tree to draw attention to himself. He climbed that tree so that he could see while he was staying away from everyone else. But not only did Jesus see Zacchaeus, he drew everyone's attention to Zacchaeus. Jesus wasn't about to let Zacchaeus get away with his scheme. He wasn't going to allow Zacchaeus to catch a glimpse of him from a distance, remain anonymously unseen, and then go on home the same man he had always been. Jesus had other plans for Zacchaeus. And before we go any further with Zacchaeus, let me pause right there and say, it's the same with us. Sometimes when we go to church, we want to slip in and slip out, not have to talk to too many people, not have to raise any notice to ourselves, be able to go on home and go about our day, go about our week, go about our lives just as they have always been. Or perhaps some come to church specifically to be seen, to visit with friends, to have conversations, to get our social tanks filled back up so that we can then go on about our day, go on about our week, go on about our lives unchanged. It's that going on about our lives unchanged part that's the problem. Whether we want to be seen by everyone or whether we want to avoid all contact, that's not really the issue. The issue is our expectation that we will walk back out of this place the same person we were when we came in. But if we have an encounter with Jesus here, then that's not going to happen. Jesus will not allow that to happen. Zacchaeus had one plan for that day. Jesus had another. What's your plan for this morning? Have you stopped to wonder, to ponder, to ask what Christ's plan is for you this morning? Isn't his plan for you a little more important than your own? But you see, in his scheme of things, you don't walk back out of here unchanged. In Christ's scheme of things, when you are brought into an awareness of his living presence, when you come face to face with the giver of life, and he says, I'm coming to your home today, nothing stays the same after that. Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today. That's what Jesus said to him while Zacchaeus was still up in that tree. Now, there are several things in those two sentences that would turn a person's life around. First of all, Zacchaeus. Jesus says his name. They had never met before. Jesus had no way of knowing who that man up in the tree was. It's not like Jesus leaned over to someone next to him in the crowd and said, you see that wee little man up in the tree? Who is that? That's not what happened. Jesus just knew who he was. And in speaking the man's name, Jesus showed that he knew everything about him. He could see into his heart. He knew his soul. By speaking his name, Jesus cut him to the quick. Zacchaeus, come down at once, he said. Now remember, Zacchaeus was up in that tree, partly because he was trying to stay away from the crowd. Now, Jesus is inviting him to come down into that crowd, to come down among the very people he had cheated and stolen from, to come down among the very people who rejected and despised this man, this sinner. Jesus invited him to come among them. He does the same with us. We know the sins that we want to keep hidden. We know the things that we about ourselves that we think, oh, if only they knew that, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. Jesus knows us down to our core, and yet he speaks our name and he invites us to come together with one another and with him. Despite the ways we have wronged each other in the past, despite the ways we have let others down, despite the things that we think about ourselves, awful things, wonderful things, ordinary things, extraordinary things, despite it all, he invites us to be together in his presence. You who are up on your high horse all the time, come down at once. You up on that soapbox, come down at once. You who put yourself up on a pedestal while you're judging others, come down at once. You who separate yourself off from the crowd because you think you're not good enough, come down at once. You who deem yourself unworthy for whatever reason, come down at once. You are wanted. You are welcomed. You are loved. Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today. In your home. Zacchaeus's home, the home of a notorious tax collector, a sinner. Not only was Jesus talking to him, that would have been bad enough. Not only was Jesus inviting him into the crowd, that was worthy of getting the crowd all riled up, but going to his home? No respectable Jew would ever have done such a thing. But Jesus does. You see, Jesus doesn't just want to meet you in passing. He doesn't just want to visit with you once a week in church. Christ wants to come into your home, into your life. Oh, but you don't know what a wreck it is. Oh, but he does. Jesus does know, and he wants to come anyway. Now, I don't mean your home is a wreck as in things are out of place and there's dust on the furniture and dog hair on the floor. That may be true of some of our parsonages, I mean homes. But that's not the point. Jesus knows wherever the wrecks are in our lives. Jesus knows when there are wrecks in our jobs, wrecks in our finances. Jesus knows when there are divisions in our families. He knows when there are troubles in our relationships. Whatever conditions our homes are in, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, financially, relationally, Jesus knows, and he wants to come in. In fact, he's inviting himself over. Of course, you can always kick him out. Zacchaeus could have said no. Thank God he didn't say no. Thank God he let Jesus come over that day. Thank God he let Jesus in. Because of it, his heart was warmed, his life was changed. Because of it, salvation came to his house. Because Jesus let him in, this man was saved. How do we know he was saved? Well, quite simply, Jesus tells us as much. Today, salvation has come to this household, said Jesus, because he too is a son of Abraham. Jesus affirms that Zacchaeus received salvation that day. But even without Jesus telling us that, we can see that the man was transformed in this encounter. Remember, he was a man who was concerned with himself and not with his fellow Jews, whom he was selling out to the enemy for his own comforts. He was a man who got rich by cheating others. But Jesus speaks his name, calls him into community, and invites himself to his house. And Zacchaeus suddenly promises to give half his possessions to the poor, to pay back four times anyone he has cheated. Who he might have cheated, that was never a concern for him before, much less the poor. But now he's concerned, now he cares, because he has been brought to salvation, and the Holy Spirit is now working in him, bringing him to repentance, imparting righteousness, making him holy. The same thing happens when we allow Jesus into our homes, into our hearts, into our jobs, into our families, into our relationships, and our leisure, and our worries, and our joys. When we let Jesus in, he changes everything. He calms the storms. He consoles our sorrows. He mends our brokenness. He strengthens us in our weakness. He guides us on the path of righteousness, and he gives us the faith to follow through. That's what Zacchaeus needed, the faith to follow through. It's one thing to say you're going to pay people back fourfold. It's another thing to open up your checkbook and start making payments. It's one thing to say that you'll give half of everything to the poor. It's another thing to actually start divvying it up. Imagine what Mrs. Zacchaeus might have had to say about all of this. If there was a Mrs. Zacchaeus, she must have grown pretty comfortable to the way things were for them. Making a life change as dramatic as this, it wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be without roadblocks and opposition. It wasn't going to be without a fight from the devil. It was going to take nothing short of Holy Spirit power for Zacchaeus to stick with it and follow through. And that is exactly what Christ promises us, that when we are saved, when we make that commitment to him, he will give us the Holy Spirit to encourage, to guide us, to give us the power for holy living. We're not on our own to do this ourselves. It is his faithfulness and his strength that makes our holy living possible. Now, there's one more thing I want to consider in what Jesus said to Zacchaeus that day. And it's just one little word, but it means a whole lot. It's that word must. I must stay in your home today, Jesus told Zacchaeus. In what sense did Jesus have to stay with Zacchaeus? Well, on a strictly service level, it doesn't make any sense. There were plenty of other houses for Jesus to stay in. The crowds around him were so thick that Zacchaeus had to climb a tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus. Surely any one of those people in that crowd would have been happy to open their home to Jesus. And it would have made a lot more sense to them. A great man like Jesus, he should be in the home of a nice, respectable, decent, honest family. He should be in the house of a family that was in the synagogue every weekend and giving their tithe and studying the Torah and playing by all the rules. There were plenty of houses like that that Jesus could have gone to. But no, I must stay in your home, Zacchaeus. Why must Jesus stay there? Because that is exactly what he came for. In verse 10, he lays it out. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He had to stay with Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus was the one who needed him the most. He had to stay with Zacchaeus because he came to save Zacchaeus. And that is how salvation was going to come. I must stay in your home. In other words, it's not good enough that I just meet you in passing. I need to stay with you so that you will stay with me. It's not good enough for you to go back home on your own unchanged. I must stay with you. I must be with you everywhere you go. Your life is now different. You have been changed. And friends, he is saying the exact same thing to you and to me. When we leave this sanctuary this morning, we cannot leave Jesus behind. He must come with us to lunch, to our houses, to our jobs, to our relationships, to our appointments, to our free time, to our worries, to our celebrations. He has to come because that's what he came for, to seek and to save the lost. Wherever we are lost in our lives, wherever we have stumbled, wherever we are failing, wherever we need direction, whatever in us needs cleansed, needs changed, Jesus must stay in your home every day. Will you let him in? Let us pray. Oh, precious and holy Savior, Jesus, thank you for coming for us, to seek us, to save us, to redeem us, and to change our lives. We give ourselves over to you. We welcome you in. We open our homes and our hearts to you this day and each day to come. Amen.